Check, 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 check. Hey, 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 hey. Yo, yo, yo. What's up? What's up? How's it going out there? Welcome back. Hope it's going pretty awesome. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you are, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. How's it going, Carolyn?
This music energizes me. It
That's
fuels
good.
Me.
That's good.
Whenever I listen to the Mountain Song, I'm like, yes, I'm so pumped to do something.
That is excellent.
And we're listening to Jane's Addiction.
For those who don't know, you should know. You should damn well know.
I ran into some people that didn't know who Jane's Addiction was this
past weekend.
Are you serious? Are you serious, bro? Yes. And they were older. I thought they would know.
That's a tough thing to swallow. It's sort of an unbelievable thing. Hey, so you actually, since the last episode of the Carolyn and Joe Show, which was last week,
at this very time,
you were talking about going to the Jane's Addiction show. We both went to the Jane's Addiction show, which happened where? At the Lyric in Baltimore?
Yeah, in Baltimore, Maryland.
Let them know, Carolyn. Let them know. How was it?
Well, the venue was pretty interesting. It was one of those old-timey type theaters that had like a red velvet curtain style looking with angels, cherubs, if you will.
Yeah.
Up on the decoration on the sides of the theater. So that was pretty interesting to see Jane's Addiction. I think like this branch of their tour, they're doing like all theaters that are similar to that or opera houses. So that was nice. And I've never been to that venue before. And so that was good. And I was pretty pumped the whole time to see Jane's Addiction because as I said in the episode last week, I have never seen them before.
Yeah.
And they are one of my favorite bands. Like, they're definitely in like the top five.
Yeah.
So, I was just, like, really pumped, because I know that they put on, like, a really good live show, so I was just prepared to have fun, and prepared to be, like, shocked with their sound.
Yeah. So, how'd it go, though?
Well, our seats were pretty good. We were pretty much, like, dead center, on the floor, and it was a seated show. So, and we were, like, a little bit to Dave's side, which was good. It was dead center, but a little bit to Dave's side, because I like being on Dave Navarro's side. And the show was like just, first of all, the opening band, they were called Band of Skulls, and I have never heard of them before, and never listened to them, but they were good. I don't really have that much to say about them because I'm not really super familiar with their music, but it did fit well with Jane's Addiction.
Well, there's always a good feeling I get when the first time you hear them talk, like when the first time you hear the band talk, it's like they're British. They're from the UK, you know. I'm always like they're gonna be a good band. They sound like they're from the UK, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, we're from East London or East Hampton or something like that. And I was like, wow, they're gonna rock.
Yeah,
they're gonna rock.
They were good. There's like I did notice that the crowd did not come in until like pretty much after that first band.
That seems to be very startling recently from any opening, major opening act. Because a lot of times when we do go to like the smaller venues.
Oh, we're going to classy it up.
Yeah, like when we do go to the smaller venues, like there's a lot more people there for the opening act. And the one thing I've realized for the opening act at these bigger venues.
Or we should say, let's also reference, we went to the Chili Peppers show.
Yeah, to the Chili Peppers show when they had the sleigh bells. You know, it was like 5% or probably 10% were in the audience. And I'm just like, really?
Yeah, and then like the opening band's like rocking out and then there's like all these empty seats.
Yeah, like I don't know about you, but like, you know, when you're trying to make it up the ranks of being a good act, and you're trying to follow like you've been chosen to open up for like a big band like Jane's Addiction or Red Hot Chili Peppers. You're like, oh man, we're going to get to play to a whole lot of people. You know, in actuality, yeah, you're able to play to a whole lot of people, but damn, does it feel empty when you're there
yeah.
opening up for them.
Yeah, I thought that was, in all honesty, like, a little unfair, though, because, like, as far as I am concerned, like, you're paying for your ticket, you're paying for the show, like, try to arrive, like, as early as possible to be able to enjoy both bands. You know, that's just my theory, because it's like, why would you only want to see half the show? But I guess some people were really just there to see whatever Jane's Addiction or Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that theory, but it's also like, well, you can't just get there like an hour earlier, you know? I don't know. That's just how I feel about it, because I like music and I like to support the bands. even if I never heard of them, you know, like I would still want to check them out. That's what you're paying for.
Yeah, even though I'm not really there to, you know, I'm there for the music, but I don't really mind. The support is mutual, but it's sort of like you're paying that money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, also even just to discover new music or just to say, hey, I saw Band of Skulls. Yeah. Like, you never know, like maybe 5 years from now, there'd be a big band or something. You'd be like, oh my gosh, I saw them when they first started or whenever, you know, I don't even know when they started, but I'm just saying, you can always say, hey, I saw them open for Jane's Addiction. You can always say that you had that moment, but if you just show up, just to see Jane's Addiction, then, you know, I don't know.
It's really like, maybe I just like seeing the opening act. Maybe that's just me. Maybe it's a weird thing, but because those are always the ones that you should watch out for.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a weird thing. Like, to me, I always just tried to go to the full concert, you know? So.
But it only seems to be with the big venues that we go to, the bigger venues.
That people don't care as much about the opening.
Yeah, you know, but when we go to the 9:30 club, there are people watching the opening act.
Yeah. But, you know, also what's interesting is it could also be location, because even when we went to the Jiffy Lube Live, because I won tickets to see Kiss and Motley Crue, and whoever was the opening band, we really did, like, truly miss them due to traffic.
Yeah.
But that wasn't an intended miss, you know? So, but by the time we found our seats, pretty much most of the seats were pretty full. I guess people were starting to file in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, like, it could, like, another excuse for missing the opening band could just be traffic in the D.C. area. Because that is pretty horrible. And that Motley Crue and Kiss one was, so that's, like, in Bristol, Virginia, and that was on a Friday night. I mean, you're dealing with a lot of traffic and a lot of people filing in for that. But yeah. But yeah, see, so I guess the, you know, what day of the week was the Chili Peppers, do you remember? It was the middle of the week, right?
I think that was like a Thursday.
Yeah, I think that was a Thursday, and the Jane's Addiction show was like a Tuesday. I don't know, maybe people are busy and they got stuff to do after work first, and then they'll see Jane's Addiction. I don't know, but for me, like, I even start to get worried about, like, missing the Jane show. I'm like, well, we still better get there early. It's another good reason to be there early, so make sure you're already there.
It's also really interesting, like, when I growing up and going to these shows, I guess when I was younger, I used to think that, like, all shows, like, happen on the weekend, like on a Saturday or a Friday, and you know, you grow up and you come to realize, like, a lot of shows really do just happen during the week, man. You know?
I mean, I guess a lot of it it's like depends on also a cost, too, of the venue. Because if they were to play on maybe, like, Saturday or something, maybe the cost to them might be more. I don't know.
But, I mean, I don't know why I had this illusion that, like, oh, it's a show, it's going to happen on the weekend. But really, like, a majority of the shows that we've gone to have been, like, during the week, you know?
It does make it hard also for people that might have other obligations, like kids and stuff. But anyway, if you really want to see Jane's Addiction or the whatever opening band, you gotta make that effort. But anyway, we're all about seeing the opening bands. And so we saw Band of Skulls, and they were good. And then, like, we're getting ready for Jane's Addiction. We're like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be great. And then I did, in the merchandise section, get a Jane's Addiction hoodie, which I noticed had a pocket within a pocket, which I just discovered last night. Fits perfectly with my Touch, my Apple Touch.
Yeah.
Or it would fit perfectly with an iPhone or any other phone, probably.
But a very conscious effort on the design of that clothing wear.
Yeah. See, but also I noticed your phone is a little bit thicker than mine, because you don't have a Apple product. Do you think that yours is a little bit thicker than my Touch?
No, I think that's just an illusion, because I have the case that goes on top of it, the protective case.
See, I wonder if that would fit.
It's pretty much equivalent size.
I don't know, because this Touch felt really pretty snug. I don't know if that would fit, but we could try it on later.
Well, look, if you hold my phone, but if you take it out of the case, it's pretty, like...
See, but I don't know if that would... You'd still have to take it out of the case to put it in the hoodie.
See how it's pretty close.
Close, but it could possibly not fit, because mine was pretty snug in there, but we can try it out later and experiment. Oh. But I thought that was pretty cool, the hoodie, because I was like, wow, there's a pocket within a pocket. And then later on, I've realized it fits perfectly with my iPod Touch. So that's pretty amazing. But anyway, so I got my hoodie right before Jane's Addiction was playing. And they had a lot of good merchandise there. And so then we went back and, like, got in our seats, prepared to see Jane's Addiction. And they were playing all this really cool music. And then, like, the atmosphere started getting closer and closer as they were setting up. And they had, like, the fog machine. And the backdrop for Jane's Addiction had, like, I guess, like, their resemblance of this current album. These two women that were kind of like a mirrored image of basically a topless woman from the waist up.
Yeah.
That was mainly like what our viewpoint was. So that was, I guess, like, it wasn't a backdrop, but it was more like a statue, or it was more like a sculpture. But I don't know what it was made out of.
Well, it definitely felt like one of those, it was almost like a, when you go to like ruins or to like, one of those temples. It had very much a mixture of, say, like a mystical garden and temple feel, and it was a statue of two naked girls topless. And I was like looking at that when it first, because it was already covered when you go there with the, when you watch the opening act, it's covered with the, it's
like
in the
back,
yeah, it's covered with the tarp, so you're not really sure. But when you saw the roadies or the crew guys take that off, and you see two naked girls, two big, massive background naked girls, you're like, all right, I'm ready for this Jane's Addiction concert, because two naked girls in the background. That's, to me, that almost is what symbolizes like the visual of Jane's Addiction, two naked girls. It's always that, it seems to be the images that I see, even on like the cover of Nothing Shocking, that's what they have. It's like two topless naked girls. So when you see that, that almost, it almost signifies this is Jane's Addiction's time is about to start up. And then they had like a significant amount of this mystic blue fog that was like shining throughout and underlighting of the two naked girls, and you just knew that this was the moment, this is what you're getting ready, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it felt like magic was about to take place, like not like magic like
the Chris Angel.
Well, it really had that feeling of mysticism was about to take place.
Yeah, it was very mystical. That's a good word to describe it. So I was like getting all pumped. I was like, wow, this like looks awesome. Like, even before a single note was played. And so, you know, we waited not really that long, but we're actually enjoying waiting, because I liked all the mystical vibe. The mood that was going on was pretty chill and pretty awesome. And just kind of give you like shivers up your spine and be like, oh my gosh, Jane's Addiction's coming out, you know? So, and that, I sometimes like whenever the bands are transitioning, I don't feel it as much, because I'm, even if I'm in like a pit, like stuck with somebody all sweaty, like right next to my skin, I don't even have an inch to move. Like sometimes you just want the show to go on. Like I've been in all different types of scenarios in concerts. But sometimes I do get like, I'm a pretty like patient person, I guess, but like sometimes it is a little rough to be like that patient when you're standing up sweating and next to somebody else, you know. But in this case, we did have seated seats and it was relaxing, and I didn't have to really necessarily worry about anything, and I was actually enjoying that break between the bands.
Yeah.
And so then they were coming on, and like the sound of Jane's Addiction is amazing. Like, honestly, anyone who really likes rock music in general, even if you like haven't heard of Jane's Addiction at this point, I really do suggest like going to their concerts, because honestly, at this moment right now, I know I'm still might be hyped like even a week later, but at this moment right now, the Jane's Addiction concert is probably the best concert that I've ever been to. There, I said it.
Well, it's also something that you even mentioned to Perry at the very end, like
we should get to that later.
Okay.
But I guess like the energy, like I know it's really mystical to talk about them, but like I don't think with any other band I've seen live, I got that vibe. Like I know I've seen the Chili Peppers multiple times, and like they are high energy too, and like really great performers, but maybe like just to compare, maybe it was the seating difference, because with Chili Peppers it's really hard to like see them up close, at least in my experience. But with Jane's Addiction, like it felt like every also that venue had like an upstairs balcony too that we walked around at the beginning just to see what their view was, and like really it seemed like no seat was horrible there. Like every seat really felt intimate and up close. Like you could at least see their facial expressions, because sometimes like when I see bands from far away, they are like literally little dots in like a stadium, and so you can't even see like their face at all.
Well, that was also what was interesting about this, because when we did go see the Chili Peppers, I mean, all the times we've seen the Chili Peppers, I feel like we've had almost like the same seat, like really, really far.
It's center, but way at the end of the stadium.
And it was like each time it's been like, each time we've seen the Chili Peppers, it's been in a massive venue, so it's never really that personable. It's never really had that sort of like personal touch. And, you know, they've always had the cameras, you've had the cameras on the stage and the screen projections showing like their faces, and you get to experience that. But there's also that little bit of discord during that situation. So we've never really experienced Chili Peppers like up close and personal, and, you know, didn't have that chance to almost have them like sweat on you or something like that. But the one thing I did notice while we were watching like the Jane's Addiction show with the screen projection and all that is that there was no cameras that would shooting them that would be projected on the screen. They just had their own projections of naked girl images happening in the background.
There was more than just naked girls.
Yeah, but also you didn't really need it. You didn't really need that. That was what was cool about the placement of the lyric. And it's not like we were super close at the lyric either. But in the lyric it was we were still not in a far seat, where we still were not in a close seat in the numbers wise, but you still felt really close. That was what was good about this experience.
We were like in seat R, right? Somewhere around there. So that's, I don't know, guessing alphabetized in, that's probably like the 18th seat maybe. I don't know. But yeah, like, I mean, just when they first came out, it was just like such a powerful sound. So like, I really recommend that people see a Jane's Addiction show. If you're really into like music and like things a little spicy, I guess, and like more experimental / just something that really has a good sound that vibrates throughout your whole body. Like, they have such a crazy loud sound, but loud and orchestrated at the same time. Not just like noise for the sake of noise. It's just like their sound is just very powerful and strong. And also, they've been a band for so long that, like, they're tight. Like, everything about them, all four of them together, like, merge to make such a forceful noise. And I like it. You know, it's just, they got some good energies going on with them. And I know that also they've broken up several times. There's been issues with the band. So that's why I'm also, like, really, I was also really excited to actually see them, to be like, hey, I'm actually seeing Jane's Addiction play. Because you never know, like, if something's gonna happen. You never know how long they're even gonna be around, or with anything. You never know with life. So it was just like a good moment to say, hey, we saw Jane's Addiction. And like, really pretty much like the first three songs in, I was just like, holy shit, this is the best concert I've ever been to. And that's what I told Perry Farrell. So like, we got to see them at the end, so that was pretty awesome. Like, I'm just really excited. but basically, like, the whole show was awesome. And they even had dancers. They had, like, kind of like a acting out performances, too, on the side with their performers. It was basically, like, different emotional qualities and interactive in that way that they brought things to other dimensions. And also, like, really seeing them is no joke. Like, it's like you get what you pay for type thing, or you get, like, what you expect, kind of, because pretty much, like, seeing Dave Navarro and seeing Perry Farrell and all those other guys, like, it's like, seeing them is basically what I thought it would be. Just seeing them perform.
Yeah.
They gave, like, what exactly you would expect, too, plus more. So...
Did you have a favorite moment during the concert? They were exactly what you were expecting, but were there certain things during the show that you know, you're like, oh my god, I can't believe they did that. That was like very expected.
I think it was like just overall the whole energy. Like, they have energy. They have like some type of mystical quality feeding off of their music and their sound. So it's not like one song or one part of the performance that I can say was like the main highlight. It was like overall everything, because it was just... They have that, it's like the overall mood. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But they had like everything like just coming together. They were just so great.
So
did you have a moment?
How was your experience when you actually got a chance? Because usually at the end of every show, even we were wondering about this when we were leaving. We're like, I wonder if we can. It's even because usually when you go to the 9:30 club, you can wait in that one area. We all know that area at the 9:30 club where you can, you know, if you have enough patience, you know, you can meet the band. And I was even wondering about that myself when we were at the Lyric, because when we went out to leave the show, which the venue is pretty awesome. Again, like how Carolyn described it, it was pretty cool. But we were wondering, hey man, is this even possible to do that? And we literally walked around the whole entire venue to look for the bus area. And one of the first things that we did see was the 9:30 guy, 9:30 club guy. And I was like, okay, there must be something happening here. This is the spot where we're going to wait at.
Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 9:30 club guy, he even has a page on Facebook called the 9:30 club guy or something like that. And then it's basically like this guy, he's like this pretty big guy with like those special earrings that are big loops. I don't know what they're called, but they're like, they make your earlobe hang down. Do you know what they're called, Joe?
I forget.
Yeah, and like piercings and stuff. But he always is at like 9:30 club. We've even seen him in Richmond. I guess he is hired as protector of the stars, bodyguard.
I always do wonder if he is a pretty good fighter, if he is, or if he's just like scary, or if he's, you know what I mean? He has to be something.
I think, like, from what I've heard, I mean, I don't really know him or anything, but I know people that do know him, and he's like nice, like he's a pretty nice guy. But I guess, like, if you get in his way, he'll know what to do with you.
Yeah, I assume so. I've never seen him have to run into an altercation like that.
Yeah. But he's...
I'm always worried about, like, the big bodyguard guys, because I'm always like, they're usually, you know, majority of the time, they're always, like, big and fat. And I'm always just wondering, like, does that equal protection or just space or just intimidation? It's always one of those... It's always a question to me of, like... But can he really do something? You know what I mean?
I guess you'll never know until somebody pulls a punch.
He'll just take up majority of the space to get in your way to get to the person. But yeah, we saw him, and you know, we realized this is the place to be if you want to meet the stars. And you know, you always run into that group meet, you know, like that meeting spot. You can call it the hideout, you can call it the exit area or what. It's always interesting for meeting like characters or people, you know what I mean? Because you always run into that bunch that are like just not willing to like wait, but you know if they wait, they would meet the band.
Yeah.
You know, there hasn't been a situation at this point where we have not met the band in that spot. If as long as you just wait, if you're willing to wait long enough, that's the only way they can get out.
And like they usually don't take that long, you know, as long as you have a little bit of patience. But I just think it's funny, like, a couple people left.
Yeah.
They were like, where are they? What? I'm going to leave now. And they seriously only were there for, like, 2 minutes. And I'm like, what? You didn't even put in that much time. I guess that, you know, they don't have patience. What are you going to do? They left.
So to me, that's almost a defining moment of just, like, one thing that could either work. But at the same time, it's like you're waiting for what? Like, you're probably going to wait for under 2 hours. And, I should make a movie about just, like, being in that area. Because they even have that, like, in wrestling, where they have the ramp area where people come out, and you can meet the wrestlers on the way out. And same thing with the bands here. You meet them on the way out. You know, like, give them a chance. Sometimes, I bet there's some moments where they will just walk, some bands will just walk by you like you're nothing and not sign anything. But majority of the ones that the bands that we've seen, that they've all been pretty cool enough to come out there and sign, or to meet the fans, you know? Yeah. And, I really think everyone should take, if you really want to meet the band, go out there and take that time to meet them and let that happen. Usually like the bigger, like acts, you know, Jane's Addiction didn't have that big of a line as compared to like My Chemical Romance. Like actually My Chemical Romance probably had the biggest crowd outside waiting for their autograph that I think I've seen out of all the acts.
Yeah.
It was pretty much like a signing. Like a real signing that broke out with My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
Like to me, that's like, that was like work for them. They had to like work. There's probably like over like 100 people that they had to go and sign for. You know what I mean? That, or you know, close to 200. And I was like, wow.
And they had us all gated in a gate.
Yeah. So they expected there to be a massive attack that was happening. But this crowd, you know, it wasn't. You know, you're mentioning this before. It wasn't even that big of a crowd. So it's like, of course they're going to sign. There's only like, what, you said like 15 or 20 people there. So of course.
It was definitely under 15 by the end when they started coming out. Because a couple people left.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, like, that's not that many out of that whole opera house to stay.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah, there wasn't that many. So maybe, I don't know, maybe people didn't know or they were too drunk or they got
tired.
I don't know.
Majority of the time, I believe that they just don't know. They don't think that's even, like, possible. It's not like you never really think about it. Even when I first started going to, like, shows, you never really think about, like, oh, there's a spot. You can go out there and hang out and try to meet the band. Or, you know, you do get that time. Like, it does, when you are waiting there, it does feel like a long amount of time because you're literally just waiting there.
Who's the first act that you waited for?
I don't know. I think I was more waiting for wrestlers at that time.
Okay.
That's the one.
Oh, you did wait for Britney Spears once.
But that's not after a show.
That was after an appearance. She was at Springfield Mall, right?
No, that was like at Tyson's, and that was like at Fair Oaks. That was at Tyson's, and that was like a signing. Because, okay. You know, during all that times, they had, like, they went and did, like, mall tours. And I was like, oh, cool. It's a mall tour. Let's go check her out.
So did you actually go in line for her signing?
No, it wasn't. That was even, like, impossible. It was just sort of just like this, became like just a paparazzi look, paparazzi crowd.
But you wanted to see her, so you saw her when she exited the building.
That one, when I saw her at the end?
Yeah.
No, that one was, like, by pure accident.
Oh, I thought you were going to go see her.
I was just going, I knew that was happening. And we went in and we saw the crowd and we're like, well, this is worthless because it was just basically like a big meeting, big signing meeting. And by that time we were already late. So it's not like we went in there. It was one of those wishy-washy situations where it's like, should we go? Should we not go? All right, let's go. It already started. And it was one of those things where, you know, you get there and there's already a big, massive group and already a big, massive crowd. So when you get there, you're like, ah, screw it. And then, you know, you're just like, all right, let's walk around and let's leave. And at the end, it was a situation where, you know, you just happened to be at the right time.
Were you with James?
No. But then, you know, that's what was interesting about that was, like, you know, that was more of a surprise. One of the interesting things I think about this one was when after, you know, Dave Navarro was like the first one out. And then, but like after, like, I forget who was already in there by this time. Probably everyone but Perry Farrell was already in the
Perry
bus.
Perry was the last.
And Dave I guess decided to, like, smoke cigarettes like by like the door of the bus. So he left like the opening crack open there. Remember that part?
Yeah. He just had his hand sticking out, flicking the ashes down.
Yeah.
So you like
you
that
remember,
part?
Do you remember that part? Yeah. Did you think that was like funny or something?
Yeah. And also two people came by and was like, can you sign this? And they slipped it through like the little crack in the window.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. Because he already, you know, he already signed, but I guess they came later or something. But I mean, like, I did hear on Dave Navarro's podcast called Dark Matter, which is like a really awesome podcast, especially when Dave is on it. That like he doesn't like to take pictures with people. He's like, he's always like, well, I'll sign, but I won't take pictures. And, like, on one end, it's, like, you know, as a fan, I'm not gonna lie, it's a little bit disappointing because I really would love to have a picture with Dave Navarro. But I also understand that, like, you know, his schedule is demanding, like, he has a lot of things going on, and he probably doesn't want people grabby on him, you know? So, like, I don't understand that part of it.
No one really wants anyone grabby on them either.
But did you see,
especially someone like Dave that have just, like, 100 people, 100 girls who think they have a connection with them, you know? And they were just like, oh, my God. Blah blah blah. Remember, I think it's always weird. Not weird, but like, you know, you have people, you do have a connection. People do have that connection with you, but in Dave's sake, since his image, since Dave's promoted and like, he's promoted himself and he's promoted in such a way that like with women would be like all over him, and I can see how that would just get tiring after a while.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't go into all that on his podcast, but he basically was just like, I'll sign, but I don't like taking pictures. You know, and if that's his thing, then that's his thing. You know, I can't deny that. And I understand, like, after he explains that, you know, after he's been doing this for so many years, like, I understand that. He's just like, oh, it just takes too much time. But at the same time, he easily could have done that for 15 people because he had to wait, like, another, you know, half hour or 45 minutes until Perry came out.
Yeah, he had enough time to come back come back to the door and just hang out and, you know, just
smoke a cigarette.
Smoke a cigarette and, like, just wait there, basically. I don't even know what it is.
I mean, they all have to wait for Perry either way. But I'm not, like, saying that negatively. I'm just saying that, like, you know, like I said, I would love to have a picture of Dave Navarro, but if he's not down with it, then that's fine. And I already knew in advance that that's how he feels. So, you know, but I'm very, 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 like, gracious that he did sign our ticket. And he was, like, you know, there's, like, on Dark Martyr, they talk about the fans that say that Dave's mean. But I did not think that he was mean. He's more just direct. He's more just like, hey, I'm not going to take pictures. I'm only signing.
Well, this is what I realized, I guess, in my life. That really people will call you mean when you do something that they don't want.
Yeah.
That's it. It doesn't matter your personal preference. It doesn't matter this or that. If I don't give you what you're asking for, you're going to call me mean.
But also,
and that's actually quite bullshit too. Because it's at the same time, it's like, oh, so I have to follow your orders now. So in this whole thing, everyone is just full of shit.
I mean, that's what I think too. I was just happy that he signed. Like I said, yeah, in a dream world, I would love to have a picture with him, but you know, I'm just lucky enough that I got to see him up close. And like, also he was like, you can take pictures of me, but I'm not gonna pose. You know, that's like the most he can do at that point. You know, like, what do you expect? Does every girl out there expect him to go on a date with them? You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes, they do. That's how they are.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he can't, there's no way he doesn't have time to go on all those dates. You know, like, it's just like impossible. So like, he can't, you know, he can give only what he can give, and he can give his signature. And that's like, I respect that he at least did that, you know?
But I think what I found so amazing about it is that even though he's like just hanging out by like the corner, like really like a square section of the window, people just saw his hands, and like that's already so defined, like his persona is already so defined, people just saw his hands and a cigarette and they're like, oh, that's Dave Navarro, and they would just walk up like, can I get your autograph? And I bet at that moment, if I was him, and probably at that moment in my life, and it's sort of just like, great, okay, here, I'm in a window. You know, it's almost like you go to a bank teller.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like it's going to an ATM. It's like an ATM autograph.
But actually, the way you describe that visual is pretty amazing. Because Dave Navarro's hands are pretty distinctive. He has like the black nail polish, and then he has tattoos on his hands. So, and it, like on his knuckles and stuff, like all over.
But I love that he can't even smoke a freaking cigarette. Yeah, so
yeah,
that's,
he can't even enjoy that
that's
moment.
That's why he's not going to take photos at that point. You know what I mean? Sort of just like, he's going to have to keep giving until he's dead. But, you know, at this point, he's been doing it since, like, the 80s,
yeah.
You know? So he doesn't really need to take those photos now. There's already millions of people with photos of him.
Yeah. So, but what's interesting to me is, like, just think of that visual. Just think of Dave Navarro's hand with a cigarette hanging out of the tour bus. Like, that's pretty amazing.
My favorite part is how he ended the situation basically by taking one puff of the cigarette and like just throwing it out and just dropping it out the window.
Yeah.
It wasn't even finished. And then
like
the, and then the 9:30 club guy had to like stomp it out.
And also like the girl next to me, I don't know if you overheard this, but the girl next to me was like looking at it. And then she was all like saying something like, I know one of us is going to take it. You know,
that's
like,
Dave Navarro's guitar or Dave Navarro's cigarette.
And then, like, but then, like, no one kind of did because we're all like, that's a little lame. You know, in my head, that's crossing the line,
yeah. But, you know, that's why not, right?
What are you going to do? Frame it and be like, oh, I got Dave Navarro's cigarette.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, whatever. But it's just, like, even for me, I was like, yeah, it's a little much. I got his autograph, and that's the best that I can ever say. And I will say, as a female species, I saw Dave Navarro up close within like a foot or two. And oh, also when we were signing, like we put out our papers and like there was no backboard to like really sign on things. So I just put my purse underneath it, and then because he's like, I need something for this, like for all of you to like, you know, put something underneath it so I can have a stable, you know, like a stability thing instead of like a floppy piece of paper. And so I put my purse behind it, and then he said, "Thank you." So I was like, "Cool." Anyway, I know that's such a minor thing, but anyway, I
know that you're more interested in seeing Dave Navarro, but personally, I was more interested in meeting like Perry Farrell, and I'll tell you why. Because almost at this point,
there's no need to compare though. They're both pretty awesome in their own right.
I mean, there's, I mean, yeah, there's no need to compare, but I'm saying why it was really important for me personally to meet Perry Farrell.
Yeah.
Is that for one thing, Perry Farrell is one of the first visuals I know of Jane's Addiction. And the first thing I've seen of Jane's Addiction is just this drugged out front man
with his
crazy hair.
Like Sideshow Bob.
But another thing is that, to me, Perry Farrell is really important of a person, of a character in like this whole entire world of music, you know? Not for one thing, he's very outspoken, again, a front man, and not a lot of people really, they always look at a front man and they're just like, oh, I can do what he does. When you look at Perry Farrell, you can't do what Perry Farrell does, you know? There's no way to carbon copy
a
Perry
Farrell. He's like his own unique person. Like he is probably like a 0.00000000001% of people are like him.
And another big reason is the fact that he created Lollapalooza. And to me, anyone that creates such a massive show, you sort of transcend you transcend just being a musician. It's almost you become like
an organizer.
You're a
revolutionary organizer.
It's like you're a Coppola at that point where you've created these things that help other people. You create these massive events. And you know, I was thinking about it afterwards, and I was like, man, a lot of people were, without Lollapalooza, there might not be, like, Rage Against the Machine as big as there is right now. You might not get, like, the Chili Peppers at that point because of Lollapalooza. I know you probably wouldn't even have Coachella if it wasn't for Perry Farrell because of him reuniting Jane's Addiction for their 2001 show. You know, it's like he's made those choices. Perry Farrell also works with like Tom Morello, and to me that's already, you know, there's those stacks. He's an important person in that case. You know,
and not just like a singer or a typical musician.
Or the Kills,
he just,
yeah.
He just encompasses a lot more. Like he puts in so much more energy to like encompassing everything with the band and also music in general. He's probably one of the top 25 people in music that have dedicated their life just to the art.
Yeah, so like to me that's like really, you know, important. And also one of the main shocking things, you know, yeah, we
nothing shocking.
Yeah, one of the things that if this was shocking is that when I did see when we did meet Perry Farrell like in person, he was extremely one of the nicest people that we did meet, but the dude looks like he lives like in the Fountain of Youth.
It
looks like the drugs have worn away.
Yeah, he like really looked great because I was I didn't get to say my full part about Dave because like I said I was like a foot or two away from Dave, and I have to say he looked awesome. Like he looked like what I pretty much expected, but like even better just because he's like right in front of my face and I'm like, oh my god, it's Dave Navarro. Like he looked great, so I knew kind of Dave would look great. There's like no denying that. Like I obviously have like, he's like my celebrity crush right now, like, or not even right now, but like he is probably like my number one celebrity crush, and like there's no denying that I like don't like Dave. Anyway, but like about Perry is like with him, like, going into it, like, as far as, like, based on his looks and, like, my impression of, like, what he would look like, it might be questionable, because, like, I know he has done drugs and stuff in the past. And same thing with Dave, but they both must be drinking this fountain of water, whatever stuff. But, with Perry, though, like, I didn't know exactly how he would hold up, like, in person, but he looked amazing. Like, he's, like, 52 or 53, like, and he looked great. I mean, obviously he's got some like laugh lines around his face, but it only added to like his character and like his awesomeness. Like it just looked like he's lived an awesome life. And he was actually like, him and Jon Stewart, out of all the celebrities I've met, were like the most nicest. Like Perry was super nice. That's the way I would describe him. And then like I told him it was my first Jane's Addiction show, and his eyes lit up and he was just like, oh really? How'd you like it? Like, he was just, like, super into, like, hearing feedback and just getting to know people. And he gave everyone a conversation.
Yeah.
And, like, he was smiling. He was wearing, like, a plaid shirt. Looking, like, he looked good. His hair looked good. His face looked good. He was, like, just happy to live life, seemed like. And, yeah, I was, like, impressed with Perry. Like, I'm not gonna lie, he looked good, too. So, like, it was just really good to like see everyone in good spirits and yeah, like and he just seemed excited, like even like he's been doing Jane's Addiction for so long, since like the 80s, and like just to hear back from somebody that's seen the concert for the first time, it's almost like all those years didn't get to him, you know, like he wants to hear feedback and he wants to know how the band was doing, which I thought was pretty cool.
One of the cool things I thought, you know, and this is a great thing whenever you speak to anybody really, is that Perry Farrell would make eye contact with the person he's talking to, and real conversating eye contact. And I thought that was like always a good thing, because I always had a problem one of my producing partners, Simon Kim, up here in the DC area, and we used to talk about this like a whole lot. And one thing that still bothers me, and I bet it still bothers him to this very day, is that when we were into the hustle and bustle, and we still are into the hustle and bustle of this filmmaking business, or just making money in general, meeting clients, is that you can tell a person by how they shake, you know, their hand, like how they shake your hand, and the what you get a connection with that. And I remember Simon and I were sitting after, you know, we were with the client, and we were meeting this client's friends, her friends, and we'd like to meet people, we'd like to shake their hands and actually meet someone. And one thing that really bothered us about this one friend that we met was and he told me this later, is that he thought this guy was a douche, you know. And I was like, why did you think he was a douche? Taking into consideration that probably I was doing my shy thing and letting him like just lead the way towards meeting people, is that like Simon said, like, yeah, when I shook his hand, like he didn't even like look at me, he didn't even like look in my direction. When I went to shake, it was like not even a real handshake, and he looked away like he didn't even like care. And he was like, that guy, and Simon was like, that guy's an asshole, fuck that guy. And so ever since then I started to realize that there's a lot of people that shake your hand and don't even look at you. Like even when you're in church, when you're giving people like, oh, peace be with you, and they don't even look at you in the eye. I always feel like that means like they don't even like care. And during this situation, that's why these touch points even matter to me. Like when we met Conan, I shook Conan's hand, eye contact, it was a real handshake. And like when I felt that, I was like, that dude's a real motherfucker right there. He shook my hand, he looked at me, and he made a connection. And I really, you know, a lot of people in the real world don't even do that. They look, you know, you ever see that fake handshake where they look at you, they shake your hands and not even looking at you. It's like, who the fuck are you shaking hands with?
Well,
at the end of this, after I got my picture taken with Perry, I was like, he was about to get a photo taken. I thought, oh, this might be a bad situation, but I'm going to do it anyway because we're about to walk away. I was like, hey, Perry, can I shake your hand? And then Perry like actually stopped for a second, and he looked at me, and he stuck his hand out, and we shook hands, and it was like a good handshake. We made eye contact, and he sort of gave me like a, yeah, what's up? You know, with the handshake. It was a power. And I was like, wow, that dude is a person who's met people. Imagine the hands that Perry Farrell has shook. Like everyone, probably everyone that's, you know, in freaking real music today, you know, has shook Perry Farrell's hand. And he took that moment to like really shake my hand and be like, you know, like it was a head nod. Yeah.
You got touch points.
But it was like a real handshake. It wasn't just some flimsy bullshit. Like, you know, it's not some flimsy bullshit, but like a real handshake. And he even shook his hand too.
Yeah. It was good. I mean, Perry was super nice. Like. That's really what it comes down to. And he must be like a good businessman too. And he must be good with connecting people.
But
so, I mean, like that is something to keep in mind though, even for like future, for people that we meet, or for any of our listeners that meet people, you know, to have that connection and not be so flimsy, and to actually like take time with people.
Yeah, and look for that. Like it's a real thing that actually happens out there, guys. The freaking fake ass handshake. Handshakes are a real deal.
I guess that's why, a connection. Like, I know in our show we've talked about touch points before and like shaking celebrities' hands. I mean, like, I know it can be a little lame because, like, you know, how do you rank their points and all that? We still haven't come down with a system, but it's more just saying that, hey, we got to meet somebody and like got the flesh on flesh connection. But like, it does mean something. the more I really think about it, and the more people I meet, it means something.
It does mean something. The handshake is really important. You can tell a person's whole entire persona, like, really by that. You can tell, like, their mood that day. Like, really, those instances really mean that. And, like, you know, it just justifies it. But, you know, that Perry, you know, yeah, he could have his own problems. Everyone has their own problems. But when it comes out to actually doing that, that means something for a connection.
And also, I've heard from Dark Matter, from Dave's own mouth, that Dave did say, you know, Perry loves meeting the fans. That's his thing. He likes to get out there and meet everybody. He's like, that for me, that's not necessarily my thing. He's like, I'll sign, I'll meet a few people, but he's like, I'm not down with the photos and all that. You know, so, I mean, it's just a different persona. And also, I feel like people want different things from Dave than from Perry, you know? So, you know, that's how it works. And also, they've been doing it for so long, they must really know what they're talking about. But, like, what I'm saying, as far as also meeting people in general, and for also for all of our listeners out there, even, like, you know, from the business side of things, too, I have heard that Chinese people, I believe it's Chinese people, when they hand over their business card, they hand it over to you so that you are reading it, like, that face forward towards you, with their two thumbs giving it to you. So it's a two-handed passover, and then you have it right directly in your face where you are, and then you're supposed to take it with two hands, look at it, read it, and then put it, you know, in your pocket or your wallet or... And so basically it's a way of acknowledging directly, here's my card and your name and everything.
Yeah.
And then you read it and then, okay, this is Joe. Okay. And then you look back up at their face to memorize it and know. So, but now I've noticed a lot of people, even at comic events and stuff, just tossing around business cards and they don't even hand it over like that. I'm not saying that we have to like act exactly like that, but you know, I've just noticed people don't really even look at it. They'll just put it in their pocket.
That's actually a good thing that you noticed that, because I want to actually, if now that you mention that, I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start reinforcing like the actual, like, here's my business card. You know, it almost comes with a bow. Like, yeah, if you imagine that, it was like you flip it over, it comes with a bow. Hi, Astray Productions. This is what we do here. Because a lot of people, even in specifically at conventions like that, just hand out your card like it's bullshit. Here's my card. It's like, really, if there's no presentation to it, I'm just like, okay, cool, bye. Okay, cool, bye. Okay, so maybe, cool, bye. Just throw it away.
When you hand it over specifically, like the way I described it, it does allow for the other person to also mimic that same action with two hands and hold it up.
Maybe this is one thing that we should take in consideration in life in general, is to maybe, when we're meeting people, to not be in such a freaking rush to just shove your info in their face, because, like, you know, it's just like quick to rise, quick to fall type deal. So if you just ease into this, okay, so this is me, you know, you just let that moment live.
Yeah, there's been several times at conventions where people, I didn't even start a conversation with them yet, and they'll just put a flyer or put a, with flyers, I guess it's not so bad because I know they're kind of just marketing, but like they'll just put their business card, be like, hey, you know, I make digital comics, here's my info. And I'm like, who are you? What?
Yeah,
I just met you. I'm like, I don't, what? What? Like, it's like, wait, can we start over? Because this is, I don't even know. I just like lifted my head up from my paper, you know, like I'm like, what's going on here?
Like legitimately, like I get a lot of cards and a lot of cards in every situation. I'm not going to lie. 90% of the times, I don't know where the hell they end up. I just put them in a pocket. So I just have a pocket of cards. You know,
but that's why it does require like that good connection automatically, because then otherwise you're going to remember a good conversation you had with somebody.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I put their card in my wallet, like in a special place, instead of just shoving it in a pocket, you know.
So if there's that one thing we should come away with this show, is actually take the moment in life to have moments, memorable moments, you know, with people, so they remember who you are.
And even just from that little altercation with Perry, look how much we took away from that.
Yeah.
So it was good to, like, spend that extra, whatever, hour and a half waiting for them.
So slow down, guys. Smell the roses. Make a real handshake, right? Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Make real connections with people.
Make real connections with people.
And visit curls-studio.com.
And astrayproductions.com. Or go astray.tumblr.com, too, where I update new work every single whenever. All the time. And also visit curls-studio.com/curls to see Carolyn's comic strip every Monday and Thursday. Every Monday and Thursday. Keep it real, people. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Hope you enjoyed the show.
Digital handshake out to you all.
That's right. Be positive.